Thanks for joining me. I'm head coach Matt Dennis, and you're listening to the Basketball Coaching Lab podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about slobs and blobs. I'm going to give you a few tips and tricks on how you can be more efficient and score more points with your baseline and your sideline out of bounds plays. Welcome to the Coaching Lab podcast, where basketball coaches build more success in less time by increasing their ability to teach, lead, and coach the players on their team and in their program. I want to start by asking you a question. Are you looking at the numbers on your baseline, your sideline, out of bounds plays? Have you actually looked to see how many times each one converts? I know a lot of times coaches put in plays and they don't go back and they don't look to see, did we get what we wanted out of it? Are we scoring off of this play? Or is it just something that we're running and we're just getting the ball in bounds? Now, the option that you want might be just to get the ball in bounds. I actually talked to one coach and he said he doesn't spend a whole lot of time on the out of bounds plays. He just wants to get the ball in bounds so that he can run his offensive sets or his offense from the half court, because that's where they spend the majority of their time. That's not necessarily a bad option, but he may be missing out on the opportunity to score a few extra points. And when you look at how many games are decided by, say, two or three baskets, that could be a great opportunity for a team kind of to pull out a win. I know when I first took over at Otsego High School, we lost five games by 5 points or less. So that's a couple of out-of-bounds plays or sideline out-of-bounds plays where, you know, maybe if we ran them a little bit better, we might have got another win or two in there. But it's hard to look back and say that that was the reason we lost. I don't think it is. If I'm not looking at my baseline and sideline out-of-bounds plays, though, I might be giving up some points. So if you use any kind of service like Huddle, that go when you tag your games or you have somebody tag them for you, you can go and you can actually look at your baseline or your sideline out of bounds percentage and what you score. What I like to do is to take a look specifically at the play and to see, are we getting what we want out of it? Did we get the shot? Even if we didn't score, did we get the shot that we wanted? Did we get a foul out of it? So going back and looking at those tags makes it really easy to assess whether or not your out of bounds plays are working for you. So that's the first thing. Are you looking back to see? The second thing is, if you're not seeing what you want, if you're not getting the option you want, you're not getting the shot you want, and you're having to throw it out every time, if that's not your goal for the play, then scratch it. I think coaches sometimes hold on to those plays for too long, thinking that, oh, we'll tweak this, we'll use this, we'll in next practice, we're going to spend some more time on it. Your baseline and your sideline out of bounds plays do take time. The biggest thing with running them successfully is to run those plays with the proper timing. If you don't have proper timing, the person taking the ball out of bounds isn't sure who to look for, at what time, they're not sure when to deliver the ball, the players on the court who are moving may set the screen at the wrong time, may roll the wrong way. I mean, timing is huge in making those plays and executing them to get what you want. But it also takes away precious time from practice. And that was the coach that I had talked to about, we just want to get the ball in bounds so that we can run the stuff we practice all the time. That was, I don't want to take the time I have in the gym with my team and take 15 minutes or 20 minutes and run over plays. I don't think you have to do that. I don't think it has to take a super long time. Obviously, in the beginning, it takes a little more time. But as you get going throughout the season, I think there are some ways that you can kind of tweak it and make it more manageable for your team so you're not having to spend a whole lot of time. One way to do this is in the naming convention that you use. So if you want to have multiple plays or multiple options, using the right naming convention can really help out. Now, I know there are different naming conventions. I'm going to give you two of them. You wouldn't use them both together. You'd either use one or the other. But I'll give you two just to kind of get your, you know, wheel spinning in your mind as to what you want to do or how you can tweak what you do. The first is using a double-digit system. They both will be double digits. But using a double-digit system where the first number represents the set you want them to be in. The second number is going to represent the play that you want them to run. So if our play is number 11, the first one is telling them that your players, you want them to be in a line set or a stack. going up the free throw lane. The second number is going to tell them what play that you've put in that you want them to run. So it might be a back screen play. So that's play 11. Let's jump to play 21. The 2 is telling your team you want them to be in a box set to start. The 1 is telling them that you want them to run the back screen play. So we have the same play coming out of 2 different sets. Now, if we wanted to add to both of those, let's run play 12. Play 1 is a stack going up the line or the lane of the free throw. The 2 is a play that's run for a flare screen and a three-pointer. So that's play 12. Play 22 starts in a box set, but it's going to have a play that runs a flare screen for a three-pointer. So we're getting the exact same play or very similar play in both options 12 and 22. Now, if you wanted to add a third set to it, you could do that and make a 31 and a 32. In the beginning of the year, picking a couple of plays that you can run from different sets pretty easily is a great way to start. When you see teams a second time around in conference play, adding in that third set gives you kind of one more piece that they haven't seen, they haven't been able to scout. Or if you like to do that when you get into tournament play, you can add that third piece. So maybe if we run a 31 and a 32, the 3 is going to tell us we're going to be in a diamond set. So that's our alignment. The 1 is the same, we're running a back screen play. The 2 is the same, we're running a flare screen play. But 31 and 32 look completely different to the defense. They don't look completely different to your team because they've really been running those plays out of 2 different alignments already. So that's one way that you could do it and kind of disguise what you're doing so the defense has a tough time figuring it out. Now, a second option or a second naming convention is going to be to, again, using that double-digit system, we would have the first number represent the play that we want to run. The second number would represent the option that we would like to hit in that play. So if play 1 has a back screen leading to a layup, it's going to be option 1. The second option is going to have a flare screen coming out to the three-pointer for a three-point shot. The third option is going to have a roll man going to the basket after the flare screen, so we have somebody under the post to pass it to. So we've got 3 options there. If we run play 11, the first digit is telling us the play we want to run. The second digit is telling what option you want them to look at. So do we want to look at the back screen cutter going in for the layup? That'd be play 11. Play 12, exact same play, except for we're trying to get the flare screen for the three-pointer. So that 2 is telling us we're looking for that flare screen. If we wanted to run play 13, same play, we're running the play, though, to get the third option, which is going to be the person who set the flare screen is now rolling to the basket and is going to be cutting to the hoop. So 3 different options out of the exact same play. You're just telling your player out of bounds what you want them to look at. And maybe you see a mismatch. Maybe you need a particular shot because of the time on the clock, or it's the end of a game situation. You're trying to get a foul on somebody. Whatever it is, you've got a play with 3 options. So pick 3 plays that you really like. Find out what those 3 options are within that play, and then those are the 3 that you would use. Now, again, you might start with 2 plays, and really you're giving your team 6 different options to score. So it doesn't mean that if they miss one of those options, it's going to be a turnover. You always have a safety built in. So I guess your fourth option would be to throw it to your safety. So you have a safety built in where you can run your regular offense anyways. But making sure that your players know which options to look at is going to be key in getting the right shot, making sure the timing is correct. It's also going to help when you add in more options as you go throughout the season. So if we added in our first 2 options because we really like those, we want our players to get, you know, the timing down, but now we're seeing teams for a second time or we're getting ready for our conference opponents, let's add in that third option, or let's use that third option more prevalently than we have before. That's really going to help us out and get some more points, you know, and disguise or maybe do something that the other team hasn't seen. So those are two naming conventions that you could use. I've used both in the past, and they've worked. Just depends on what you're comfortable with. I've seen other coaches do other things. So they use double digits to set double screens for certain players. So 22 is going to be a double screen for your 2. A 33 is going to be a double screen for your 3. A 44 is a double screen. I've seen where they have the option to run different flex screens or a shuffle cut, but they're disguising it in a way that it starts in a 1-4 high set or a 1-4 low set. Same exact play, except for sometimes they start at high, sometimes they start at low. So that's another way that you could disguise things. If you like to use colors or you like to use names, just make it mean something that your players can easily pick up on what you're doing and what you are trying to accomplish in that baseline out of bounds set. Hey, Coach, let's take a quick timeout. I want to say thanks for listening to the Coaching Lab podcast. I also want to encourage you to go over to iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you like what you're listening to, and even leave a review. That'd be great. The last thing is, if you're looking for baseline and sideline out of bounds plays to use with your team, head over to the Coaching Lab at CoachMattDennis.com. You'll find plays from college and high school coaches, as well as ebooks that you can print off and kind of dissect and look through to see what's going to work with your team. So, Coach, check out the Coaching Lab over at CoachMattDennis.com. Now back to the podcast. Sideline out of bounds is similar, but you don't typically have as many sideline out of bounds opportunities in a game. This is really where end of game situations come in, because it seems like whenever you get into an end of game situation, the ball somehow ends up on the sideline. Whether it's in your front court, it's at half court, or it's in the back court, that ball seems to end up on the sideline more times than it ends up anywhere else at the end of the game. So having some different options there, picking one or two different plays, letting your players know which option you want them to look for. So if we had play 55, that might be we're going to be going down, we're getting it into our 5-man. If it's a 54, we're running the exact same play, but we're going to be getting it into our 4-man. A 53 might be where we're going to get a 3-point shot for our 3. So whatever it is, if your 50 series was what you were going to be running for your sideline out of bounds plays, well, you might have an option at 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 5, all the exact same play, but you're going to a different player depending on what the game brings you. Do you need a post up? Is your 4-man hot? Do you need a shot from your best 3-point shooter? Do you want to get a drive and a foul for somebody to get to the free throw line? There are so many different things that happen, but when you put that in there and you give everybody an option, one is they pay attention a lot more closely in practice because they may have their number called. The second thing is when you call a timeout or you have the opportunity to go over that play, it's not brand new. It's not like, man, we only practice this for a 3-point shot, but we really don't need a 3. We just need a bucket to win. We need, you know, to either get the foul or we need to get the layup. We need to get it into the post. Well, if you didn't practice that in practice, then it's going to be really hard for them to execute. So having an option kind of for every single player out there makes them pay attention, but it also allows them to have meaningful reps that if their number is called in the game, it's not the first time that they've seen something. So having that naming convention can really help. So coaches, hopefully this helps you out with your baseline, your sideline out of bounds plays. It's part of the game that I think you can steal a few points. You can create a little bit of margin there, and you can get some teams really on edge. I'll give you one quick story before I let you go. When I was coaching at the community college level, we played, I think they were ranked 6th or 7th in the country, Mock Community College, and had a phenomenal team, and we ran the exact same play 3 different times out of 3 different sets, and the play led into a flex screen for a layup, and we scored on all 3 plays. And I can remember the timeout that the coach called and how he lit up into his team, because all we did was disguise the look of the play, but we ran the same play for a flex screen and we scored on all 3 times, and he was livid, and he shouldn't be. I mean, there's no reason that his player should get hung up on what we ran, but we didn't run the same set every single time. And that was the key. Had we set it up the same way every single time, the players would have known after the first time, we're looking for a flex screen. You got to watch out. You got to talk on this. But since we ran it out of three different looks, we ran it out of a line look, we ran it out of a box set, and we ran it out of a diamond look, the defense had a tough time communicating and getting exactly, you know, stopping exactly what we were trying to do. So coaches, again, hopefully this helps you out as you run your baseline, your sideline out of bounds plays. You can score a few more points and you can win a few more games.
Coach, if you've enjoyed the Coaching Lab podcast, I encourage you to go give us a 5-star rating and even leave us a review. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening to today's episode, Coach. If you'd like more great coaching content, I encourage you to check out the Coaching Lab at coachmattdennis.com. You'll find everything you need to have more success in less time.